If you have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, we're going to be in Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. And I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. He says, "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. You know, Jesus was traveling along, and he was doing miracles, performing miracles and healing people. And he comes up to a guy at a tax collector's booth named Matthew, and he says two words to him. He says, "Follow me." And Matthew gets up just like that and follows him because the presence of Jesus has got to be, had to be so strong that he didn't even think about nothing else but getting up and following him. And that's what we need to be doing today. We need to follow Jesus. If there's ever been a time in your life that you accepted Christ as your Savior, and you should know what it means to follow. You should know what it means that the first time a following is when he called you to salvation. Now, if you don't know who he is, maybe by the end of today you will. But we need to really be following what Jesus is talking to us about here. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? You know, what does it really mean? Is just get up and just walk and follow him wherever he goes and do the things that he does? It means about giving up your old way of life, your sinful way of life. You know, we're all sinners, saved by grace, right? But it's to give up that. Now, Matthew gave up his job. He gave up everything and just followed Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that we have to give up our jobs and do everything and do all that to follow him. I'm saying when you accept him in your heart, you need to follow his leadership and where he's leading you to go. And my first time when he followed me was March 28th, 1993. I'll never forget it. Listen, from a true Southern boy, I'm a true Southern boy born in South Jersey. Don't laugh. Listen, I lived in South Jersey. I lived in Southern Illinois. And now I'm in South Carolina. I'm a true Southerner. So, but I was brought up Catholic and raised Catholic and didn't really understand the whole salvation thing and being saved and all that. And on March 28th, 1993, my wife asked me to go to church with her. And now her dad was a Baptist preacher. So, and I was brought up Catholic, went to Catholic school. So I would have rather bought her diamonds or something else than go to church. I'll just be honest with you. So I went, and the power of God during that revival, God just saved me right there. And listen, he radically saved me. He didn't just save me for that day. He radically saved me and put a fire in my heart that's been there ever since 1993, and it has never dimmed. Now, I know there's a lot of people that get saved or they say they're saved, and then a month later, they're back doing the same old things. But you know what? We might have missed salvation by about 12 inches. You might have had that head knowledge, but not really got it into the heart. You see, God really gets in your heart when he saves you. And then there's no issue about following him or doing the things that he wants you to do. And when we follow Jesus and we go through his, and we should just live by his leadership and follow him through his leadership at what he wants for our life. What does he want for our life? Well, he wants us to serve. That's what we should be doing, is serving. My mentor pastor told me this morning, early this morning, he says, service. How did he put it? He said, service is the sweet spot of our walk. Service is the sweet spot of our walk. That just hit me right between the eyes there, because it is our sweet spot if we're serving. And that's what we all should be doing, serving. Not just coming here, sitting down, listening to good music, listening to a halfway decent sermon, but a good sermon when pastor's here. And then going out and just doing the same old things that we used to do. When we serve, we really need to be serving. And I found a poem, and it just really resonated with me and about a lot of people in the church family, in church life. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Real service is what I desire. I'll sing you a solo anytime, dear Lord. Just don't ask me to sing in a choir. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I like to see things come to pass. Don't ask me to teach boys and girls, oh Lord. I'd rather just stay in my class. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I yearn for thy kingdom to thrive. I'll give you my nickels and dimes, dear Lord, but please don't ask me to tithe. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm busy just now with myself, dear Lord. I'll help you some other day." That's a lot of us, I think, that we're too busy involved with our own life that we don't even want to give Jesus even a part of it at times. You know, we're just so busy. It's a busy time. In 2016, I really see a lot of good things happening in Millbrook Baptist Church. This is going to be a breakout year for us. And I really believe God's going to do an amazing work through His people. And He's going to do it, but He's going to do it through you. And you've got to be ready and prepared to follow Him and to serve. And the second thing, we need to go. What did Jesus do? When Matthew got so excited about it and got up and followed Him, he was so excited that he invited Jesus over for dinner. So Jesus went to his house for dinner, and then people were saying, look at your teacher. He's eating with tax collectors and sinners. Aren't we all sinners? Aren't we all that way? But Jesus went where they were at. He didn't wait for them to come to Him. He went where the people were at, and then He started building relationships with people. You know, at times when I go, my ministry, maybe a lot of you don't know, but, you know, I was hired on here as the discipleship education minister and singles minister. But God has changed really a lot of that role, and He's got me a lot out in the community, and I do a lot of jail ministry. And God has put me with people who are in the jail right now. But listen, God loves them no matter where they're at. You know, we're all sinners. Just sometimes their sin is exposed and ours is hidden. You know, our sin is hidden from us, but not from God. He knows our heart and He knows. And so these guys that I minister to in the jails and they have a great heart, some of them. It's just that sometimes drugs just eats people up. It could be either drugs or alcohol. And a whole line of criminal activity goes along with that, shoplifting and burglary. And it's all got to do with drugs. And I'm going to show you a video here in a few minutes, but there is a poem that I want to read to you guys that really touched the heart for me for what these guys go through and gals go through. But know this, that we're supposed to go where God calls us to go. And whether it's next door, whether it's at work, at school, wherever it is He asks us to go, we need to be going. We just need to be going. That's His command to go. First, we need to follow Him, and then we need to go. I'm going to read this to you. I destroy homes, tear families apart, take your children. That's just a start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. And if you need me, remember, I'm easily found. I live all around you, in the schools and in town. I live with the rich. I live with the poor. I live down the street and maybe next door. My power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. Just try me once and I might let you go. But try me twice and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You'll do what you have to do to get high. The crimes you'll commit from narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you feel in your arms. You'll lie to your mother. You'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience. I'll teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. I turn people from God and separate my friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always right by your side. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money. Then you'll be alone. I'll take and I'll take so you have nothing more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this is no game. If given a chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body. I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely. Your soul will be mine. The nightmares I'll give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside your head. I want you to know these are all gifts from me, but then it's too late, and you'll know in your heart that you are mine, and we shall not part. You'll regret that you tried me. They always do, but you come to me, not I to you. You know this would happen many times when you're told, but you challenged my power and chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over, now that would you say? I'll be your master, you'll be my slave. I'll go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you have met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I could bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. And it's signed drugs. But it could also be signed, as Pastor Robbie told me this morning, it could be signed sin. That's what sin and drugs does to a person. And there's a couple guys that I've been ministering to in the jail that recently got out and they're in the rehab and just doing wonderfully. But it's not only those two. There's five or six more in our church that could do the same thing. But not always everybody allows God to work in their life. Some do, and God will heal them. Some won't, and they'll continue the life they live. I want you to look at this video of these two guys. Now, I could talk and talk all day, but until you see somebody that really went through it, it'll really impact your life.
Hey, my name is Chris Hoppe, and I just want to give you a short story of what I've been up to and where my life's at today. I was a heroin addict for about 12 years, in and out of jail. I'm 31 years old now. About 2 years ago, I met Gary Freeman and Jim Childers in the Millbrook community, and they planted a seed. You know, it took a little while for me to get it together, but they never gave up on me. And after 6 times of overdosing and just heroin and drugs and homelessness and everything else, I went to prison and I got out about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And I'm attending the Bethel House now, and I'm still in contact with the Millbrook family, and I'm getting prayers, I'm sure. And just God works awesome, awesome favor in my life. I have an awesome job. God's just shown me that if I let Him lead my life, you know, that just stop trying to control it on my own, He can do amazing things, just exceedingly abundantly. And that's where my life's at today, just lots of hope and peace. And I just thank Millbrook as a whole, and just please continue to pray for me.
Hi, my name is Jeff Decatur. I'm 28 years old, and I'm a recovering drug addict. Over the past 10 years, I've struggled with addiction to prescription painkillers, alcohol, pretty much anything I can get my hands on. In the span of those 10 years, I've made some very bad decisions, some poor choices under the influence of drugs. Drugs have made me do things that normal people or myself wouldn't do. I've hurt my family over the years, stole, lied, hurt family and friends. Pretty much lost everything, cars, several cars, my house, in and out of jail over the years, committing crimes, hurting people, just all the things that you generally don't want to do to people is what drugs led me to do. And in the span of those 10 years, I've been incarcerated 3 times. While I was locked up, Pastor Gary Perino from Millbrook Baptist Church would come in and visit me and talk to me about God and how I need to change my life. And I just didn't want to hear it over several years. You know, I just still wanted to keep doing my own thing and keep getting high and hanging out with those old friends and living that lifestyle. And, you know, I would talk good intentions to them. I'd say, hey, when I get out, I'm going to do better and I'll be in church. But I'd get out of jail and go back to the same things again. And virtually, it was just a revolving door. I'd wind up back locked up again and in jail. But, in December 10th of 2014, last year, I had an incident happen. God really knew my situation. I was involved in a vehicle accident where I should have died. The trunk was pretty much split in half. Before the vehicle accident, I was actually shot at several times, and by the grace of God, I didn't get hit. So God was really in that situation and had grace and favor on my life. And I was already on felony probation for some other crimes I had committed, and I should have went to prison. But in the long run, I went to court. Gary Perino was there for me, and he spoke on behalf of me, and they sent me to a rehab program. You know, I asked for it. It was something that I knew I needed in my life, and I felt like God had saved me for a reason, that I had a purpose to live, and I felt like I had to show that purpose. And in the time that I've been out, I've been to rehab, and I'm still at rehab right now, the Bethel House in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm doing awesome, working hard. I've actually had 2 jobs since I've been out jail almost 6 months. I worked at a golf course. Now I'm working at Specialty Woodworks, and it's an awesome job. It's a job that a convicted felon and someone like me should not have. So it's from God. And I'd just like to take this time to thank Gary Freeman from Millbrook Baptist Church, and also Millbrook Baptist Church in general, the Sunday school class. They've supported me. They've helped me. They've prayed for me and been there for my family. And it's things like that that have kept me going through all this. There was times where I wanted to give up on myself, and I didn't believe in myself anymore. You know, I just you know, the I believed everything the devil was telling me, that I wasn't worth anything, there was nothing left. And people like Gary in Sunday school class, and, you know, just people from Millbrook just gave me hope. You know, there was something that they seen in me that I didn't even see in myself, and that's what helped keep me moving forward. And I just want to thank them. I thank y'all so much. I give God the glory for everything, but it's through God's people that the help has really came. So I really appreciate it, and that's all. Thank you. God bless.
So these are two guys affiliated with Millbrook, just two out of many, that God has touched their lives. It's nothing that I did or anybody else did. Listen, Jeff's family is here, and they put up a lot with Jeff over the years. But they've seen a change in him, and that change only came because of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus could change a person's life. It's nothing that we could do. But listen, just like Jeff said at the end of that, he uses his people to share with them. So he uses us. He'll use us for those who don't know who he is. So it's important that we go wherever he leads us to go. And, you know, like I said, it could be the next door neighbor. It could be a school. It could be anywhere else. But if he leads you to go somewhere to share or just to build a relationship, that's what you need to do. We can't just come in here and sit in a pew and listen to good music and a sermon and then go out and live the same way and not have no compassion on anybody else's life but your own. You know, God loves you. And if you don't know who he is, today could be the day that he just puts that love in your heart. You know, it's not only the jails that I go to. We should go everywhere. Just this past May, I'm so proud of the singles ministry, because we took a trip to Italy in May, and 11 of them felt like God's call for them to go and to minister over in Italy. Now, listen, it's a dark place in Italy. You would think, because the Pope is there and everything else, it's a very religious country. It's dark, and they don't know nothing about Jesus. And it was hard. But these singles from Millbrook Baptist Church went because God called them to go. They went, and they did their very best to share what God has laid on their heart. And it's not only that. This church does a lot of things. Our singles group, on the third Thursday of the month, we meet at Acts, and we help out at Acts. We went to a Salvation Army and served at Salvation Army. But it's not only doing that. It's about building relationships with the people. We could go and go and go all day long. But if we don't build that relationship with somebody, a one-on-one relationship, then it doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, there's so many ministries going on in this church. We have the Sunshine Ladies, who are a great group of ladies who write out cards and give cards to people and go to their homes and give them flowers. And we have our Whittlers, who do a lot of building around here and are outside the church helping people build ramps or whatever. There's a lot of ministry going on in Millbrook. I'm so proud to be a part of this. And it's because we have a pastor who's got a heart that loves people. He just loves people, and that overflows into the staff. And, you know, this staff just loves people no matter where they're from or who they are. It doesn't matter what somebody looks like or how they're built or their social status, if they're rich or poor or homeless. We're to love no matter who they are. That's the command from Jesus. And that's going to lead me right into my last point, and that is love. And he tells us that he, in verse 13, that he, Jesus tells us that he desires mercy, not sacrifice. He tells us in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He tells us again in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And yet again in John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Listen, do you think Jesus was serious when he commands us to love one another? Was he serious? Look how many times he's telling us. You know, this is an instruction book of how we should live. That's what this is. This isn't just the Bible or just somebody wrote it. God wrote it in the inspired word of God. And we're supposed to live like what hell tells us in here. And if we can't do that, then are we really a child of his? It doesn't matter what a person looks like. Man, it doesn't matter. Listen, I go to the jails, but you know what? I want to help them even after they get out, not just behind the glass and talk to them and share, but a one-on-one when they get out. And, you know, we need to build relationships with people, but not out of far. We need to get up close and personal with them. Just one person. If each one of us in here who has the love of God in their heart would just build a relationship with one person, we would double in 1 week. It's not hard. We're not saying go out there and bring everybody off the streets. And each one of us has a responsibility to love somebody, to go and love somebody and build a relationship with them and tell them about what God has done in your life. That's your responsibility. It's not just come here and listen and go home and do the same old thing. Do you think God's going to bless that? Listen, one day we're going to be standing in front of him. And he's going to say, why did you not share your love with that person? Or why did you not share my story? Why did you not share the gospel? And we're going to stand there thinking, duh, I'm scared. I'm scared to be standing in front of him when he asked me those questions. You know, it's hard. It's hard to deal with people sometimes, isn't it? I mean, some people are just not lovable. And they just don't want to do the right thing. And that's even in our own families. You know, sometimes I would go home to New Jersey on a vacation or a holiday. And listen, I could take 2 or 3 days and I got to go. You know how it is with family sometimes. That's just how it is. But we should be showing the love through them. I just adore my dad. You know, I was brought up Catholic, strong Catholic. I went to Catholic school, diehard Catholics. They're Italian. My mom's about this tall. And we went to Catholic church and I went to Catholic school. And when I got saved in 1993, they didn't even know what that all about, you know. Because my wife, dad is a Baptist preacher, so, you know, I intermarried. I guess I don't. But when I got saved, God just fired me up. And through the years, you know, taking a strong Italian Catholic family like that, like my mom and dad, and right now they're going to a non-denominational church and hearing the Word of God. Because they've seen the change in my life. People should be seeing the change in your life. If you say you're saved and you do the same old thing that you've always done, that is not a witness, people. And then I don't know really if you really are a child of God. There has got to be a transformation in your life. There has got to be a transformation. And unless you have that transformation and you go out and you love others, you're never going to, I'm telling you, you're not going to be happy. You can sit here all day, but you're not going to be happy until you follow Jesus. You go, you love, you serve. That's when you feel it. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. And you're going to think I'm nuts or something. I don't know. But one thing, I just want to say this before that. You know, it's 2016. Here it is, the first Sunday of the new year. And I don't know how many people made New Year's resolutions already. And one is, it's all about you. I need to lose weight. Right? You usually make a resolution that's going to benefit you. And you know, I need to lose weight. But I'm not going to make that resolution. I can't stick to it. I like pizza too much. But how about if we do this? For this year, we ask God, God, show me the love of your heart and let me have that same love toward others this year. Can I love like you this year in 2016 and see what a difference it will make in somebody's life and in your own life? If you just love that person and build that relationship with. And then continue that relationship, not just do that and then leave them on their own, but build and nurture that relationship. And watch what God does with that person. Watch what he does. Listen to this statement. This is pretty cool. Love is a disease you can't catch without being properly exposed. Love is a disease you can't catch without being properly exposed. When you're exposed to the love of Jesus, you can't help but to love somebody else. When you're exposed to his love. You know, Scripture tells us to the do's and the don'ts, do this, do that. You know what we should desire? A present life that reflects Christ. That's what we should be desiring. A life that reflects Christ. If we do, it gives reliable evidence of a saved person. Is that your desire? To have a life that reflects Christ? Or it's good to say, but are you actually doing it? I never thought that I would ever be called into a ministry like I'm in now. Didn't want nothing to do with jail, with those kind of people, you know, nothing. But God says, you know what? This is where I need you to go. And I need you to make a difference. I need you to share my love with them. Because you know what? They're a child of God. no matter what they've done. Their sin has been exposed, like I said before. Ours is hidden. And you can hide all day long your little sin, but God knows. And so I've always been told from when my mentor pastor, Gary, stay close and clean. Stay close and clean. And that's what I try to do with my life, stay close and clean. But you know what? It's hard. This world is messed up. Our poor kids are in school in the secular world, and they're being introduced to all kinds of junk out there. We're allowing 2 or 3% of the country to dictate things that we know that's morally wrong. Let's talk about same-sex marriage just for a minute. 2 or 3% vote to have that we want same-sex marriage. What are we doing? We're staying silent in the pews. We're staying silent at home. And we just let it go. It's time not to stay silent anymore. This is a new year. It's 2016. We're going to vote in a new president. And what kind of president do we want? I'll tell you what kind of president I want. Somebody who's morally sound and biblically correct. That's who I want in the office. To take this country back to where it should be, where our morals should be. Now, do we need to love those people who are in same-sex marriage? Absolutely. If somebody would build a relationship with them and love on them, don't you think the love of God will change their heart? Absolutely. He could do it. He's God. He can do anything we ask Him to do. But you know, we got to be willing to go. We got to be willing to follow Him. We got to be willing to go. And we got to be willing to love. If we're not willing to do that, then what's the sense? So I'm going to challenge you this year, church. Challenge you that this year, just find somebody and just love somebody. You know, God's going to put somebody in your path this year. He's going to put one person in your path, and the person that you probably don't even want in your path, that He wants you to love on. He wants you to build a relationship with. And watch how He works in a person's life. It's unbelievable. It's a miracle. These two guys, they put their family through a bunch of junk. They did. Jeff, the last one, a lot of his family's here today in both services. For 10 years, he put them through junk. He was homeless. He was drug addict. He was stealing from them. He would take anything he can to get that next fix. Until February of this year, God got a hold of his heart and changed it. And yeah, I went to court with him, and he should have got about 10 or 15 years in prison. But it just so happened, this is how God works. It's just unbelievable how He works. 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks prior to him going to court, I was called to jury duty. And I'm thinking, I'll get out of this. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm going to get out of this. They don't want me up in there. Not only did they pick me to be the jury, did they pick me to be the foreman of the jury. And I'm thinking, for real? Is this serious? So I did my stint on there, and I was the foreman of the jury. But I built a relationship with the judge. And 2 weeks later, I went to court with Jeff, and that same judge was residing. And his lawyer said, Judge, Pastor Gary from Millbrook wants to come up and speak on Jeff's behalf. And she says, this is amazing. She says, I know Pastor Gary. Come on up here and tell me about the program over at the Bethel House. And so I did. I told her about a 10-month program, how he's going to get his counseling and he's going to get what he needs, but he's also going to get Jesus because it's a Christian-based rehab for 10 months. And they could go to all the rehabs in the world, all the secular rehabs, and get their counseling and get everything they need. But if they don't get Jesus, their life will never change. Never. So she agreed. Let him go to the Bethel House. Jeff's been there about 4 or 5 months now. He's got a great job with Specialty Woodworks. His family got him a car for Christmas. They're trusting him now. That he never had that trust before. And it's because of what God did in his life that they could trust him. That's just one person. God wants us out there. He wants us to build relationships with people. He don't want us to just come in this beautiful building and sit in the pew and go back and do the same old thing day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. And listen, it's hard. And we're sinners. We know that. So it's important that you have your quiet time with him. It's important you have your prayer time with him. It's important to listen to what he says through his word. And then you put feet on what you read in his word. So church, this year is going to be a monumental year in Millbrook's life. I really believe it. God's going to do a work, and he's going to do a work through his people. And so be prepared and be ready and be ready to go and be ready to serve. And it doesn't matter if he calls you to serve in the nursery, in the youth. Bill got mad at me last time because I didn't mention the choir, but in the choir, you're going to sing. But we all need to be serving somewhere, whether it's being a greeter. There is no way we should ever be without volunteers anywhere in this church. There's many people that go here. No way. So I'm challenging you. Serve. Find out where God wants you to serve. Just don't serve to serve. Find out where God wants you to do, and you'll succeed, and it'll just be a blessing in your life. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this message this year, church? What are you going to do with it? You going to forget it as soon as you walk out the door? You going to apply it to your life, what God is telling us here in Matthew 9? You going to apply it to your life? Are you going to follow Him? Are you going to go where He asks you to go? Are you going to love those? Really, a lot of those are unlovable. And watch God work in their lives.